Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The New Statesman.
Hi, just a word before we start. Voting is open for the British Podcast Awards People's Vote. If you enjoy the New Statesman podcast, we'd be so grateful if you could cast a vote for us. Just go to britishpodcastawards.com/voting and search for The New Statesman. Voting is open until the 5th of September. Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Anoush.
I'm Freddie.
And this is the New Statesman's politics podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing whether Labour and the Conservatives are really U-turning on their environmental commitments. I'm Anoush Shakelian, Britain editor of The New Statesman and host of this podcast. And joining me in the studio, I have our political correspondent, Freddie Haywood.
Hi, Anoush.
Hi, Freddie. So this is the question of the week, really, following the ULEZ issue in the Uxbridge and South Ruislip by-election, which Labour says is the reason why they didn't manage to win the seat off the Conservatives. Are the government, but also Labour, rowing back on their commitment to the environment?
Well, it's not clear at the moment. This by-election, narrowly lost by Labour, has triggered a reaction in both parties against environmental policy. Whether it's just that their messaging's changed or their policy's changed, I think it's mostly the messaging. I spoke to one shadow cabinet minister this week and they said, of course, it's not going to change our policy. First of all, becoming net zero by 2050 is legally binding and no one's proposed to change that. And that applies to both parties, but it might change Labour's framing. So, but this is not new. We've seen this over the past 6 months or so. Ed Miliband, especially Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, have tried to sell their environmental policy, their green prosperity plan in terms of jobs, economic security, higher wages, preventing unemployment, these sorts of things. No one talks about green politics anymore. It's not a hot topic. It's hard to talk about. It's not very emotive. No one really cares in a cost of living crisis. It's not the top of people's priorities. So all the by-election's done, I think, is given more impetus to that argument. On the Conservative side, we know that Rishi Sunak's never been that keen on environmental policy. Of course, all the same caveats apply. It's not like he's jettisoned any major policies and he's still stuck with the net zero by 2050. But it's not at the front of his agenda. We've seen some vacillation over whether or not they want to replace the policy on getting rid of gas boilers by 2025, I think it is. And then we've had other briefings saying that they're not going to change it. So it's not clear. I think both parties are basically accepting the narrative that's come out of Uxbridge. Environment policy is bad. Therefore, we don't like it. Therefore, we'll make it into something else. Whether that's actually changed, I think, I don't think it has.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that it's more framing, isn't it? It's more how the language they're using about these policies. And actually, to be fair to Labour, a lot of people are accusing them of sort of knee-jerk changes to the by-election result. But it was in June that they rode back on their £28 billion commitment. And they, like you say, they've been talking about the green transition in terms of jobs and employment and security rather than in terms of, you know, let's make the environment a safer and more protected place. And that's something actually that they've learned from Joe Biden as well, who's doing, you know, huge things for the environment in the US, but is talking about it all in terms of work and jobs. That's actually something that I heard from someone on Biden's campaign team who was suggesting to parties like Labour, other sort of socially democratic parties around the world, that that's how you should talk about the green transition, because otherwise it sounds too radical, too new, something that might hit people in the pockets unless you put it in terms of their day-to-day lives, particularly in a cost of living crisis.
Exactly.
And I think actually the Conservatives were on this already. You know, they swapped their net zero language for energy security a long time ago. I think, you know, even over a year ago, that's how they were framing it. And I think this is just Labour realising and following suit and doubling down on that shift in emphasis rather than shift in policy.
Yeah, and we should also note that many people see the ULEZ policy, which is the ultra-low emission zone within London, which is being expanded by Sadiq Khan, the Labour mayor, as an air pollution policy, not a climate action policy.
Yeah.
I've had lots of emails about this following my morning call on Monday, and I think that's true to some extent. Of course, if you reduce the number of high-emitting cars, of course, it also contributes to climate change, but Sadiq Khan has also been clear that it's mostly a health measure to help people with air pollution and to reduce deaths from that. But it's also about the perception. I think you might say one's air pollution and one's climate change in the public mind. I think they've been conflated.
Yeah.
And also, more importantly, in the rights, some of the boisterous rights people, you know, the Nigel Farage types, they've also managed to conflate the two things. And that's really important because we're in this cost of living crisis, as you say, Anoush. There's lots of frustration around the country, and we've seen the power of Nigel Farage as a campaign in the past 4 weeks over the fact that Coutts closed one of his bank accounts and the CEO of NatWest, who owns Coutts, has now resigned. He is looking for a new Goliath to slingshot, I think, and he's been exploring various options since we left the EU. He's been a major critic of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. He's gone for green policies, including ULEZ.
Well, he wanted a referendum on net zero for a while.
They still
didn't
do. And there's also some Tory MPs have called for that as well. So there is this fringe within the right who have been quite stringent on this point for a very long time. My worry is that if Labour and the Conservatives, but more Labour, if they cede the argument that we need to introduce these policies for environmental reasons, or whatever, but if they see the argument that it's not as important compared to other things, then it creates a little vacuum for the right to come in and say, of course, we shouldn't do it.
Yes, and that's the thing. People are reading into this by-election result what they want to read into it. So you have that net zero scrutiny group of Tory MPs that you described, you know, the ones who have always been banging the drum against these policies, saying, well, see, look, we told you so.
Yeah.
And then you have Labour thinking, oh, gosh, we're still far too radical for the voters. We've got to be even more cautious. And actually, there is a danger of overcorrecting. Mm. Most of the polling shows that the public is concerned about climate change and thinks that Labour would do a better job on it than the Conservatives and don't see enough coming out of the government to change things. I mean, that polling should be taken with a pinch of salt, because obviously when this collides with people's day-to-day lives and how it affects their own finances, then the views, you know, change, which is completely natural. But I do think Labour ought to be a little careful, because they have watered down that £28 billion spending commitment. They've equivocated over North Sea oil drilling because of the pressure from the unions. And, you know, they do start to look like there is very little between them and the Conservatives on climate policy. And actually, Boris Johnson, for all of the scandal of his premiership, he was very different from other sort of so-called populist leaders in right-wing parties around the world, in that he was very committed to environmental measures. And you had Zach Goldsmith, someone who was close to him, resigning from his position, saying Rishi Sunak just didn't take it seriously enough.
Yeah.
And so it was something that the UK could legitimately say it was sort of leading on, particularly around the COP time, getting all of these countries to sign up to the net zero commitment and climate finance for other countries around the world, developing countries. And Labour, you know, has been quite, I don't know, I suppose lily-livered on that. And it perhaps is an overcorrection.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's necessarily an overcorrection in terms of the policy, because it was perhaps unlikely that they were able to deliver the £28 billion a year on green funding within the first year of entering Parliament anyway. And they've kept the commitment to decarbonise the electricity system by 2030. So they said they're going to achieve that. That's the output. Whether the input is what they say it's going to be or not, I think is less important. But I completely agree that they might have overcorrected on the messaging of it. And holding those two things distinct in your mind is always important. And I think we'll also come back in the second half and speak a little bit how they might have done the same with Liz Truss's debacle in office. But yeah, it is a risk. We're not there. And I think, as you say, Anoush, nothing's changed that much. And also, we have to remember that they did slash the Tory majority in Uxbridge by a lot. So,
yeah, and it was only 400 votes. And the vote for the Greens was higher than the majority that the Conservatives won by, which I suppose is notable.
It is notable, yeah. And yeah, so we can't overstate how bad this is for Labour. I think people were definitely searching for a narrative to come out of the by-elections to say, oh my God, Labour is not doing as well. And I think also Labour themselves wanted that. Remember, we had the National Policy Forum straight after the by-elections this weekend. And I was speaking to some people who were there on Monday, and they were basically saying, well, it was actually quite good to have lost Uxbridge, because we could say to the left parts of the party, look, of course we can't be more radical. We have to be fiscally responsible. We have to come down hard on spending commitments. Otherwise, we're going to lose seats like Uxbridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a positive spin on it. I imagine that he would have been in a stronger position going into the National Policy
positive
Forum
on both
if he'd won, if he'd won all three. But yes, we'll keep an eye on how these policies go. I mean, one last thing is that it clearly is a dividing line that the Conservatives want to draw. They're trying to stick Just Stop Oil, for example, onto Labour. Yeah. They're trying to associate Keir Starmer with the people who are, you know, disrupting big events and lying down in the roads and making a nuisance of themselves. And, you know, those kind of tactics are very unpopular. Mm. Labour obviously are trying to distance themselves from it and trying not to let it stick to their reputation. But that's clearly something that the Conservatives are going to try and use coming up to an election.
Yeah, completely. Harry Lambert, one of our colleagues, has interviewed Dale Vince, the Labour Party donor and Just Stop Oil donor in the New Statesman this week, which is very interesting. They have tried to do that. Whether that will be successful or not, I don't think it's going to be successful, because Keir Starmer has been so adamant that he disagrees with what Just Stop Oil have been doing. He calls them arrogant. I think Keir Starmer has developed a attuned sense for public opinion and fear of public scandal in the past year or so, and that's coming to bear. It's coming to bear on the Nigel Farage case, when he actually said, I think yesterday, that he feels sorry for Nigel Farage now. So he's not just, I don't mind you calling me a conservative, he feels sorry for Nigel Farage. But he knows how to avoid annoying the wrong type of people, and I think he's done exactly the same with Just Stop Oil.
Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to send a question for us to discuss on a future podcast, you can do so at newstatesman.com/youaskus, or put one in the YouTube comments. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend. It really helps us to reach more people. You've been listening to the New Statesman podcast with me, Anoush Kellyan, and my colleague, Freddie Haywood. We'll be back tomorrow to answer your questions in our next episode, You Ask Us. Suze Cooper edited this episode and were produced by Chris Stone.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.